Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for
this nation. Under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
Good evening. Happy Wednesday to you, and welcome to Missouri Grassroots Radio. I am Lisa Payne Nager, and this is your Culture Vigilante Hour. We're here to help you take back your government for the interests of the people. We have a great lineup for you tonight. It's been a pretty interesting week. We've had a lot going on with campaigns and forums and debates, and there's a lot going on across the state, fundraising, and people are very busy trying to educate the folks on how they can get involved in their governmental processes and their elections and make a difference and sway things to the benefit of the people, take back your government. So this evening, we have a great show for you tonight. We have Connie Hall from Christian County Property Rights Council. She'll be here in our Patriot Spotlight for you to tell you what they're doing down there in Springfield, Missouri, and how they're making a difference down there. We have a really good interview for you today with Dr. Earl Taylor of the National Center for Constitutional Studies, and he's going to be taking a tour across Missouri, giving a great seminar in several locations across Missouri. We had the folks from CWA last week talking about that. And we'll have Tom Martz on a little bit later on to give us a Yankee Doodle legislation alert. First, let's talk about what went on today. Monday evening, I was at the senatorial debate that was held here in St. Charles County, where I live, by a local radio station and some other organizations. And they had the three senators there at Lindenwood University. It was a taped event, a televised event. It was a very interesting. It was a very interesting event. Debate format, although it really didn't turn out to be a debate, it was more like a forum. I'm finding, much to my discomfort, that it's very hard to get Republicans to debate each other, especially, I guess, in a primary. I guess they save that for the general election or something, but it's very difficult to distinguish Republicans from one another. They don't really, and I guess that's a good thing. You don't want to go out, go attacking, trying to draw blood, but it's really hard for candidates and elected people trying to seek elected office to go out there and really distinguish themselves. And I think people are really yearning for that. I think people are really looking for the candidate who has the guts to go out there and make a statement and stand for something, and you're really not finding that in this primary season. And I didn't see it on Monday when I was at the senatorial debate. It was a very well-run event, very well done, televised and broadcast on the radio. Actually, I have an article up at the Examiner.com, St. Louis Political Buzz. You can look for that there. There's video of that event. I was at the press conference after the event and have video of that for you, where the oddly enough, the candidates were a little bit more candid, talking about some issues that didn't quite take place on the stage. There's some question about some negative campaigning coming out of the Brunner campaign, and there have been some negative ads that have surfaced from that campaign, and there's some video up at examiner.com on that. You can see that and read about that there. Also, there's a link there if you didn't have an opportunity to go to the debate or listen to the debate on Monday night. There's a link provided by the radio station where you can watch the entire debate and see it for yourself there, which is a great opportunity. You should see it. My take on it excuse me, was that there wasn't a lot of content differentiation between the candidates. Everybody pretty much stood pretty firm on the issues. Everybody wants to repeal Obamacare. You know, everybody, you know, is against going to Syria. You know, there's, you know, Fast and Furious. The questions were kind of softball questions, nothing of any real detail where anybody got into anything of real substance. But they all had a different style. You know, Bruner is running as a political outsider, never been in politics before. Although my take on it was that he answered his questions in more of a political style than the other two candidates. He never really answered anything directly. He danced around the answers a little bit more like you would see a seasoned politician dance around answers. And we had Sarah Steelman, who, in my opinion, is not a real polished politician. While she's been around for a while, she does not really present very well in a public setting. Now, I think that she's probably pretty well versed in the issues. She's not as articulate as someone you would expect to be, who has been a seasoned political professional. And then we had Todd Akin, who, of course, has been in the Congress for a number of years. He's very well-spoken, he's very articulate, and he's very polished. And each of those three candidates just kind of offered a different style. So it's pretty interesting to see. If you have an opportunity to see it, like I said, please go to examiner.com, St. Louis Political Buzz, take a look at the article. All those links are there for you to become informed about the event and about the candidates, and I hope you'll take advantage of that opportunity. Wanted to kind of talk about a couple of things we've got going on with Missouri Grassroots Coalition. We are basically here to promote the grassroots here in Missouri so that we can have a larger influence on things that go on our state. And we've got a wonderful website set up. We're a young organization. We are kind of just growing, and we're going through some growing pains and trying to get things set up and trying to get people involved. So we've got a great website set up where we have a wonderful calendar of events, and people, you can join there and put your information there and educate people about what you've got going on and how you're reaching out to the community. So I want to encourage everybody to go there, take a look at the events calendar, take a look at the events that are going on around the state and in your area, and jump onto one of those events and get involved and join in and give some support to your local grassroots organization. Which brings me to our first guest. Tonight we have Connie Hall from the Christian County Property Rights Council. She is, I believe, they hail from the Springfield area, and they are very active in local property rights issues. Good evening, Connie. How are you doing this evening? Hold on a second. Let me turn your mic on here. Good evening, Connie. How are you doing this evening? Sorry about that.
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. It's great to have you with us. I really appreciate you being on with us tonight. We're really interested in finding out about what you're doing down there in the Springfield area, Connie.
Okay.
Talked to you a little bit briefly yesterday, and you kind of gave me a brief rundown of your grassroots organization and what you guys are doing down there. You guys are from the Springfield area, is that correct?
Yes. Christian County is just south of Greene County, which is where Springfield is, so we're considered to be part of the greater Springfield metropolitan area. And our county is pretty varied. We have a couple of cities that are basically bedroom communities for Springfield. And then we have a lot of little small rural communities and still a lot of farmlands. So it's a huge divide there between, I think, the city folk and the country folk.
Is there a divide in the mindset, do you think, or is everybody pretty much on the same page in that area?
I think a lot of people are getting onto the same page, but I do think that the farmers were getting a lot of their rights taken away, and a lot of people who lived in town didn't really, you know, think too much about it either because they hadn't heard about it or it didn't affect them.
Right. And I think we talked a little bit yesterday. Property rights issues, Agenda 21 issues. A lot of people don't really understand about Agenda 21. We're trying to educate them on that. But some of these things, I think, are happening down in your area quite seriously. Is that what motivated you folks to form that organization down there?
Yes. We initially were affiliated with Ozarks Property Rights Congress. A friend of mine, Bob Estep, was actually having meetings of a Christian County chapter of that organization up until the beginning of this year, when we decided to branch off and kind of form our own group with kind of our own charter and own mission. A lot of us, being that we're not farmers, we see that, you know, the problems that farmers are facing are certainly you know, a bad deal, but a lot of us aren't farmers, and we are too facing you know, problems with property rights. So an issue that we're dealing with right now is our county health department has basically been staking out a farmer who delivers raw milk to our area, and trying to fine him and basically intimidate him into no longer delivering raw milk.
You're staking him out?
Yes. A couple of weeks ago, they had found out where his meeting point was. They contend that if the farmer delivered it, that it should be delivered to each individual person's home. He has several customers who are in the general area around Ozark, so he just meets them in one place, and they come pick up their milk. Sort
of like a food co-op, how that would work.
Yes, and so they contend that their statute says that it must be delivered to the person's home. He contends that it does not say that. It says that it can be delivered or it can be picked up from the farm. It's basically, to me, it's an issue of, you know, the government sticking their nose into a place where it doesn't really belong and interfering within a transaction between two private individuals.
Right. It's a regulation issue, and they're sticking them on a technicality in the law.
Exactly.
So, but if he wanted to just give that milk away for free, he could probably meet them on the Walmart parking lot and give all the milk away he wanted to, and the government wouldn't have a say.
Probably at this moment, I don't know.
Depending on
maybe,
how the statute is.
Now, I don't know how that will be next week.
Right. Well, you folks were the center of that whole area down there, were the center of the hotbed issue with the Dollar Heights and their rabbit issue.
And
that was another issue where the federal government had stepped in, imposing very oppressive, very restrictive, very over-the-top regulations and mandates on some people that were selling rabbits, right?
Right, exactly. They had gotten into having some... Hang on just a second. If you want to get out, I'll finish this and then I'll come here. Yes, they had been raising meat rabbits and decided that getting into pet rabbits would be a little more lucrative. And basically, strangely enough, the rabbits that were meant for human consumption were not regulated, but the rabbits meant to sit on, you know, children's laps and pets were regulated, and as soon as they found out that they were not in compliance, they did their best to get into compliance and eventually ended up facing over $3 million in fines from the USDA.
It's just mind-boggling. You know, just little, I mean, their probable net worth isn't over $3 million. They're just little Missouri farmers just, you know, making a buck.
Exactly. Business,
and they just got hammered by the federal government. It was a huge story for a while, and I think it all resolved itself okay, I'm happy to say, right?
Yeah, right? Yes, it did. It did finally get resolved, but
not without
the
work of a lot. Not without the work of a lot of grassroots efforts. The people really got behind that issue, and publicized it very well. It had the grassroots folks not stepped up, had there not been a lot of publicity and a lot of support coming from the people, the Dollar Heights would have been in a lot of trouble.
Yes, exactly. They were facing the possibility of pretty much losing everything they had, and even prison time, if things had not been resolved. So it was just a case of overreach and abuse of power by the federal government. Unfortunately, it seems like we're having a lot of problems affecting change at the federal level, but you can affect some change at the local level, especially just because the people you're dealing with are your neighbors and your friends. You go to church with them. You shop at the same grocery store. They get called on the carpet for what they're doing, or they should be at least.
So, Connie, through your efforts down there in Christian County and trying to make people aware of what's been going on around there, have you found that people are becoming more aware of the incredible government overreach and the restrictive mandates? And how are people starting to understand how the government is really just, squashing their rights? And, I mean, a lot of it flies under the radar.
I do think that a lot of people are starting to wake up and realize that there's a lot of government overreach and that our rights are eroding. I'm hoping that it's not too late. We have started, making sure that we have people at most public meetings that take place. And just really trying to bring attention to what's going on, and to let them know that we're not crazy, and we're not Chicken Little. We don't think the sky is falling. We have good evidence of things that are taking place. And I know that I'm 38, and when I think back to how things were when I graduated from high school, I feel a lot less free now than I did back then.
Absolutely. Every time a legislator writes a piece of legislation, your freedoms have gone away just a little bit more. So, and now you've got federal agents staking out milk deliverers.
So now these are not federal agents. This was actually the assistant director or administrator of the county health department.
Oh. What do you think is driving the bus down there with the county down there in Christian County for all of the restrictions that they're trying to impose on the average person down there?
Well, I really do believe it's a nanny state. I think that they feel like that they know better than the average person. And but I believe we're starting to get a little bit of pushback. Judy Dollarhite and I, over the course of the past year, have become pretty good friends, and we've worked a lot together in on the Property Rights Council.
Excellent.
And we have started to develop some, inroads to good relationships with our county commissioners, with our sheriff. And we're starting to try to open their eyes to see what's going on. And I believe they're starting to come around and understand what's going on and why we're pushing back. Because we see that other counties have passed resolutions saying that we are not going to, succumb to Agenda 21, or we are not going to do this or that. A lot of times we get the excuse of, oh, well, the state says we have to do it, so that's what we do. And then, it only takes looking around a little bit and checking other county codes and reviewing the statutes ourselves to find that, indeed, they don't have to do it that way. They're choosing to do it that way. And maybe they are taking the path of least resistance that we are, I think, trying to provide some resistance and show that we're not just going to lay down and let them do whatever they want.
You folks are excellent role models for other people around the state to start groups of their own in their own small communities, because all of those people in the county councils, the sheriffs, they're all elected officials. I know they are here in St. Charles County, and they need to know that if people are going to start actually reading the statutes and paying attention to what's been going on and not just turn a blind eye, that their jobs are in jeopardy as well. You folks are doing a great job down there of raising awareness and all of the Agenda 21 issues that people don't generally know about. That's a great place to start that education right there at the grassroots level. So, Connie,
yes.
Tell me, how can people get a hold of you down there in Christian County? How can they find out about you and get some information about the work that you're doing down there?
We have a Facebook page, Christian County Property Rights Council. And we also have a website, yourpropertyrights.info. And they could call me at 417-827-7832.
Fabulous. And Connie, feel free to contact us at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. We would be more than happy to put any of your event information in our calendar so that the people can log in there and get the information there as well. We hope that you'll do that, and we really appreciate you being on the show with us today. We'd love to touch base with you again and find out how your Agenda 21 education is going. That's so important, and it's the Agenda 21 just, there's so many facets of it that have just kind of touched the daily lives of people without them even knowing, and the fact that you guys are bringing attention to that issue is just huge.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you so much, Connie, for being with us today. Go to Connie's Facebook page, go to their website, and look for them on Missouri Grassroots Coalition Radio. Thanks, Connie. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to take a little bit of a break, and we're going to come back, and we've got a short taped interview with Dr. Earl Taylor. He's touring Missouri. He's from the National Center for Constitutional Studies. And he's going to educate you folks on the Constitution and how to make it work for you so that you can take back your country. We'll be right back.
Jobs, taxes, traditional family values, education, protecting the unborn, Second Amendment, tort reform. These are the issues facing Missourians today. Hi, I'm Terry Varner. As your next state senator, I will continue to work to change government by preserving our liberties, reining in wasteful spending, and making the state of Missouri responsive to its citizens. I am a pro-life constitutionalist who believes our state and federal constitution are there for protection from overreaching government. I firmly believe that only by ignoring those documents has the government at all levels been able to trample on the liberty of his people. I would appreciate your vote this August 7th. I'm Terry Varner, and I approve this message.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners. Show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Welcome back to Missouri Grassroots Radio. This is Lisa Payne Nager. We're here in the Culture Vigilante Hour. We are fortunate enough to have an interview with Dr. Earl Taylor. Dr. Taylor is the president of the National Center for Constitutional Studies. He, along with the good folks at Concerned Women of America, are going to be touring Missouri. given a wonderful seminar on the Constitution and how the Constitution can help you regain your power as a citizen. Dr. Taylor has taught the Making of American Constitutional Study course to thousands of people over the past 20 years and throughout the nation, and he's developed other study courses for a wide range of participants from high school students to state legislators. He's also developed the wonderful CD series, The 5,000 Year Leap. If you ever have an opportunity to participate in that series, I would recommend it highly. It's been a great, wonderful series. I participated in it. It's very, very informational, very educational, informational. No matter how much you know about the Constitution, you will come away with a little bit more knowledge than you went into it with. Let's go now to that interview with Dr. Taylor. Hello, this is Lisa Payne Nager, and you're listening to Missouri Grassroots Radio. We are fortunate to have with us today Dr. Earl Taylor of the National Center for Constitutional Studies, and Dr. Taylor is working in conjunction with the fine ladies at Concerned Women for America to put on a wonderful series to help educate you on the Constitution. It's a half-day series, Making of America, and Dr. Taylor will be touring 8 different locations across the state of Missouri giving his presentation through June 25th through 29th. Hello, Dr. Taylor. Thank you for being with us today. We appreciate having you on.
Thank you, Lisa. My pleasure to be with you.
Now, Dr. Taylor, you've been doing this kind of work for quite some time, and you're the president of the National Center for Constitutional Studies. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I sure can. Our organization began in 1971 because of the desperate need to teach people about the Constitution in the tradition of the Founding Fathers. And so that's what we've been doing ever since then, is putting on seminars, large and small, short and long, all over this nation, teaching people about what the Founding Fathers said should happen and be happening in America. You know, there's just lots of opinions out there, as we all know, but people are kind of having the sense now that something just isn't right, because all these proposals don't seem to be working. And they just have a sense that, you know, maybe, just maybe, the Constitution is our answer. And so we say, listen to the founders, because it's amazing, Lisa, when you read the founders, they had answers to nearly every problem we have in America today. That's a big statement. And in our seminars, we show them where the founders already knew how to solve these problems. The issue is that we're not studying them anymore. We're not studying them. We're not teaching them in schools.
Absolutely.
We're not studying them much anymore. So that's what we do. And I'll tell you, it's exciting to see people latch on to these concepts, because they just have a feeling, you know, this is really the answer, and that's what we do. That's what keeps us going.
Well, I've been fortunate enough to partake in the series given by through CWA and other groups across the state of Missouri on the DVD series that you present on the 5,000 Year Leap. It's a fabulous series. The things that I learned through watching that DVD series were just amazing. So is the half-day seminar, The Making of America, is that going to be a similar type of an educational experience for the folks?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that series that you're talking about, we did about, 6 or 7 or 8 years ago. I teach government in a high school in Arizona, and that's where that was recorded. But, of course, a lot has happened since then. So what we do is not only teach the main points of that, but we use current examples and so forth so that people can relate to them. But, yes, that's what we teach.
So can you kind of give us a rundown of what your tour through Missouri is going to be like? As I said, you're going to be a very busy man. You will, the June 25th through 29th, you're going to be presenting this series at 8 different locations across the state.
Well, you know, I told Bev Allen to keep me busy, and she's going to do that, and that's wonderful, because, as you know, Lisa, we have a lot of teaching yet to do in this country.
Well,
those are basically 3-hour formats, and what we will do, the first part is to explain to the people where the founders got their good ideas, how these principles of liberty were developed. You know, it started way back at Jamestown and Plymouth, where they tried several systems of government, and some of them were an absolute failure. Communal living, having all things in common, no private property, and it almost caused Jamestown and Plymouth to disappear. But they broke out of that system, and they had a system of free enterprise, private property, and it's amazing how it succeeded. And so the founders wrote down, they actually wrote in their writings, don't ever do this share everything equally business by the force of government. It's a miserable failure formula. Anyway, they developed those concepts through the next 180 years until the Constitution was written in 1787. And once those concepts and principles are institutionalized in written documents, our Constitution, you can see what happened. We went from ox carts in that year the Constitution was written to walking on the moon less than 200 years. It's just amazing what these principles do for people, and that's what we then encourage people to learn, because those concepts form the basis of our Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And then we go into the Constitution because what we're trying to do, Lisa, is have people, and anybody ought to be able to do this, to take the Constitution itself, and everybody who comes will be given a copy of the Constitution, a little pocket-sized Constitution that they can carry with them, and we will show them how they can teach simple concepts and principles right from that document to anybody, because as you probably know, we need thousands, if not millions, of Americans teaching these concepts again. So that's the three-hour format. It's exciting. It will thrill people who are there. And if anybody is thinking about coming and wondering if it's going to be worth it, I'll guarantee you won't want to miss this, and you'll want to bring other people with you.
It sounds wonderful, and the word that kind of comes to my mind thinking about this is empowerment. As we are approaching primary and election season, it's very important for people to understand the Constitution and to be able to recognize candidates and electeds who support and defend the Constitution and those who do not, and I think that this series will go a long way in educating people to be able to do that, don't you?
You bet. You know, it's amazing. Every public official has to take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Problem is, not too many have even read it. And so we need to gently remind candidates of what oath they're going to take and what powers they have when they become a congressman or a legislator. It's all there in the Constitution, the limits of power, the amazing formula for freedom. And it's just a great teaching document, and that's what we'll be sharing with the people.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Taylor. I can't thank you enough. I wish you all the best of luck as you tour through Missouri, and if it's possible for us to check in with you halfway through the tour to see how things are going, we'd love to talk to you again. The women at CWA do wonderful work, and we're so grateful to them for bringing you here, and we just wish you all the best of luck. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa, and thanks to all those, Ben, and all those who have helped in CWA put this together. I look forward to being there.
Great. Thank you very much. We will have all of the information about Dr. Taylor and the tour of the Making of America through Missouri up on the Missouri Grassroots Coalition website. You can learn more about Dr. Taylor and his organization, the National Center for Constitutional Studies, at www.nccs.net, and the Concerned Women for America website is www.cwfa.org. Thank you, Dr. Taylor. We'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you, Lisa. Good luck.
If you have an opportunity, please go to the Missouri Grassroots Coalition website, look at the calendar of events. Dr. Taylor will be all over the state giving this wonderful seminar. If you have an opportunity to jump on board with that, please do. We're very fortunate today to have Debbie Cole of CWA here to kind of wrap up and give us the perspective of the CWA and give us some information about how that tour is coming together and gelling. Hi, Debbie. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thanks, Lisa, for having me on.
Oh, thanks for being with us. So how are things going with the tour? Have you got any updates for us? And are the registration going well? Is there anything that we can do to help you get that word out?
Well, everything is on track. Everything is firmed up. And we are excited that Dr. Taylor is going to be here in just a couple weeks. I already checked the Missouri Grassroots Coalition website, and indeed those dates are on your calendar. All people need to do, let me remind him, he's going to be in St. Louis County on Monday. He will be in Hannibal on Tuesday. He'll be in Fulton on Tuesday. He'll be in Independence on Wednesday, Lee Summit on Wednesday, Belton on Thursday, Harrisonville on Thursday, June 28th, and we'll finish up in Sykeston on Friday, June 29th. All that information is on the Grassroots Coalition website. It's on the Concerned Women for America website. All the information that you need to sign up and how to register is all on those websites. And I would encourage anyone, please come. You will not regret it. This is a wonderful opportunity to it's just a wonderful opportunity to learn the principles that made our country great.
Now, Debbie, I'm sure you've had an opportunity to sit in on the 5,000-Year Leap seminar DVD series, right?
I did.
And it is truly an amazing series. I mean, you know, you may be sitting at home listening to this telecast thinking, oh, you know, there probably is nothing more dry than flipping through the Constitution, but I'm telling you, it's a very entertaining series. And, I can tell you, I can have a very good education of civics and the Constitution, and what I've learned along the way as I've gone along. But this is really, Dr. Taylor is a master at presenting information, and it's very entertaining, and it's very light, and it's very empowering. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, you're kind of breaking up, so I hope you're hearing me okay. But what I wanted to share was the principles that Dr. Taylor brings forth in his teaching. This is what we need to get back to. When I'm in Jeff City and I'm listening to our state reps and our state senators and we're introducing legislation, and there are just literally thousands of pieces of legislation that are introduced every session. And I truly believe that they're in their heart, they want to help people and they want to do the right thing. But what is happening, instead of legislating by principle, we're seeing them legislate by the crisis of the day. And we need to get back to legislating and governing by principle, time-honored standard principles, and not just some constituents' crisis of the moment. And that's why we're seeing hundreds and hundreds of pieces of new legislation every session.
And as with anything else, you know, dealing with the crisis is not necessarily the best, you know, trying to solve a problem when you're in the middle of crisis mode. It's, you know, your head is just not in the same place as it would be when you're, you know, dealing with the problem, just trying to follow the, you know, if you were just trying to follow the Constitution, you know, instead of trying to put out a fire. And we don't want to legislate by putting out fire. So
Exactly. So
thank you, Abby. Really appreciate you being on with us. One time, can you give us the website for CWA?
The website is cwfa.org, www.cwfa.org. Just go to the state link and click on Missouri, and our webpage will pull right up.
All right. Thank you, Debbie. We appreciate you being here. And again, go back to the Missouri Grassroots Coalition events page and take a look at those dates and jump on to one of those seminars. You won't regret it. Thanks, Debbie. Have a great evening.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. We're going to take another quick break here, and we're going to come back with Tom Martz, and we're going to dive into some Yankee Doodle legislative alerts. So stay with us, please. We'll be right back.
Okay, Missouri Patriots, I don't have to remind you that our ancestors fought and died for our right to exercise our voices and shape government in the interests of the people. And yet, in most elections, less than 20% of the population bothers to vote. Gas prices are outrageous, the economy is a disaster, and we are being regulated to death. Bad government and weak leadership are destroying the American way of life on a national and state level, and it's time to send a message to Washington, D.C. and Jefferson City and tell them we have had enough. If you're not registered to vote, the deadline to be eligible to vote in the August primary is July 11th and October 10th for the general election in November. The Patriot Revolution begins in 2012, and it happens at the polls. Vote in the August primary and the November general election, and bring a friend. The Constitutional Republic depends on it.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
And we're back. You're listening to Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Lisa Payne Nager. This is your Culture Vigilante Hour. And we've had an interesting program so far. We're going to wrap it up. We're going to spend some time diving into some legislation. We've got Tom Marks with us of the Locke and Smith Foundation. We're going to talk about what I like to call Yankee Doodle legislation. Yankee Doodle legislation, in my opinion, is bogus legislation used by elected and campaigning elected to fire up the constituency, fire up the voters on hot button issues, but it's not really legislation that's going to get you anywhere in the long run. So, good evening, Tom. How are you doing this evening? Hold on, let me turn your mic on. I'm having a little technical difficulties keeping things today. So, you're on, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm doing quite well, sitting here looking out the window watching the sunset.
Oh, it's a beautiful evening here in Missouri. Tom, what part of the state are you from?
Springfield.
You're from Springfield as well. And you are actually running for state rep in that area, are you not?
I am. I'm running for state rep District 131, which is North Springfield and North Greene County.
Okay, and you are running in a primary, is that correct?
Yes, there's four of us in that primary.
Oh, my gosh. Well, all right, so we'll be talking a little bit more about that later on in the program, but we wish you all the best of luck there. So you were on last week with us, and we had to cut the show, ran a little long. Tom works with the Locke and Smith Foundation, and their basic primary goal is to identify constitutional legislation and constitutional legislators and praise them for their efforts in sticking close to the Constitution as they work for us in Jefferson City. Is that right, Tom?
That's correct, and I think your last guest said it best. On the thousands of pieces of legislation that are introduced, this year we looked at 222 House bills because they achieved the ranking of third, read, and passed, which means they went to the Senate. And we will look at 90 Senate bills that were also third, read, and passed. So in a four-month time frame, they transferred back and forth 312 pieces of legislation, and that's not including the appropriations bills.
And that's really just a drop in the bucket to the legislation that gets introduced every year. I know last year there were over 2,000 pieces, and I haven't bothered to count this year how many pieces of legislation were written and introduced. Do you have any ballpark figure on that?
I haven't, because the first 2 years I used to keep track of that, but then I just said, you know, it's not... The more I look at how much they do in that limited time span, the more it scares me that they can get that much done that quickly.
Yeah, it's frightening. And it's what really bothers me is the mindset that goes into it with writing that kind of legislation. Because every time a bill is signed in the Missouri House or in Washington, D.C., your rights are restricted just a little bit more. So the idea that legislators go into office with the idea that their success is marked by writing and passing more legislation is not the right mindset we want our elected to have. We want them to go there. Go ahead.
It isn't, and I think, every law that could possibly be written is already on the books. It's already handled. Now they're just trying to nitpick at the death to make sure that everybody has a special interest category so they can go back a greater percentage of them. I'm not going to lump them all into the same category because there are some good legislators up there. But I think your last guest said it best, that a majority of them, and perhaps even all of them, at some point in time, think it's their obligation to do something that will benefit one of their constituents, when in reality, if it's not good enough for one, then it shouldn't be good enough for someone else.
Absolutely. And it would be really nice if we could turn the tide and change the mindset to send people to Jefferson City and Washington, D.C. with the idea of cutting the fat on the legislative books, to go there and to cut stuff instead of writing more legislation. I think if we could put that mindset out there, I think we would have accomplished a great deal.
You know, I would just love to see them go to Jeff City and do nothing but the appropriations bills and then repeal a law a day.
Absolutely.
We could do that for the next 10 years and we would still have too many laws on the books.
Absolutely. Too much fat in that area. Okay, so Tom, we've identified a few pieces of legislation. What's the first piece you want to talk about tonight?
We'll start with House Bill 1108, 1108.
Okay.
Go right ahead. This is a bill that basically requires or allows wireless communication providers, or actually, how do I want to word this? You as the customer can authorize your cell phone provider in the case of what they define as an emergency service or a case to respond to a call for help, allow them to do a location find on your phone.
Okay. You know, I was kind of looking over this bill, and there's some red flags in here that really bother me. And
now,
I don't know.
Anyone who watches TV, NCIS, CSI, you know, they always have these little war rooms where they're always tracking somebody on a cell phone.
Right.
So it tends to lead to the essence that people are already of the mindset that you can already track me on my cell phone.
And that it's okay.
Yeah, and it's okay, but now we're making a law, or we're going to create a law, that basically, I think, hides the fact that they already do what it is that they are given you the permission to do with your cell phone provider in 1108.
Okay, so there's a section in this bill that says, no cause of action shall lie in any court of law against any telecommunications carrier, yada, yada, for providing any information, facilities, assistance to law enforcement or agency in accordance to the terms of the section. I mean, that's basically the meat and potatoes of the bill, right? And that really bothers me. I don't like that. You know, there needs to be some kind of a process. I mean, that's an infringement on my personal privacy.
Well, I think if you read the last three lines, this should scare the crap out of just about anyone with a cell phone, because it states, notwithstanding any other provision of law, nothing in this should prohibit a telecommunications carrier or commercial mobile service provider from establishing protocols by which such carrier or provider could voluntarily disclose call location information.
Yeah, to anybody for any reason without a warrant. I mean, that would kind of usurp the Patriot Act, would it not, on a state level?
We don't want to go into the Patriot Act. I'm not too happy with that piece of legislation.
Right. but still, I mean, even in the Patriot Act, there are provisions where at least you have to have a warrant. This would not even require a warrant. So I mean,
correct. And I think most people are already under the assumption or already under the essence that, you know, you do this already.
Right.
Illegally. So now you're going to create a piece of legislation which basically says, well, we may have been doing it illegally before, but now we got this piece of legislation so we can do it. And what should really scare people is, you know, when you sign a contract for a cell phone, it prevents them in the tiny print from putting this in your contract. that by signing this or by re-upping for your two-year contract that you're already okay for them to do this without your knowledge.
So you've just totally laid your life out there for everybody and their brother to walk through. All of your personal records, right? All of your phone records, any information, any texting, anything, it's free and clear. So I didn't look this up. Where do we stand on this? Who introduced this bill, and did it get any traction this year?
Let me look real quick. I do believe this one was delivered to the governor on April the 30th.
So it was passed by the House and the Senate.
And actually it was started in the House. It went to third read, passed in the House, went directly to the Senate. They agreed to with it in its entirety. They third read and passed and sent it on to the governor. And Jeannie Lauer, District 54, is the sponsor of this bill.
Okay, so basically, we are waiting for the stroke of the pen for our privacy to be taken away from us on this bill. Is that not correct?
By my understanding of the way this reads, yes.
Okay. Well, maybe we need to have a little uprising here and have some folks contact the governor and tell him we don't appreciate this piece of legislation if it hasn't already been signed into law.
At this point, that's the only thing you can do.
Okay. That's a little scary. This may be an action item that we need to take here at Missouri Grassroots Radio. That's bad news. I'm not happy about that at all. Okay, what have we got next on the plate for the Yankee Doodle legislation?
Senate Bill 689.
Okay.
Senate Bill 689 seems innocuous enough, but basically everything they're doing in this piece of legislation is already against the law. So why do we need to go to the point of creating more layers of bureaucracy to...
Oh, I'll tell you why. Pick me. I can tell you why. Because if I'm an elderly person and elderly people vote and this is an election year, we can create a special class of people, which is something we love to do if we're legislators, because it plays on the sympathies of elderly and anybody who knows any elderly, and it gives you special attention in the legislature. Yes? This is
a perfect example of the Yankee Doodle legislation. They absolutely can go back and say, look what I did for you, because absolutely they know 100% that probably 95% of the people are not going to go look at this bill to see what it actually does.
Okay, so let's get into the meat and potatoes of it a little bit. Let's talk about what it says here. Financial exploitation of the elderly or disabled person. Go ahead.
To take unfair advantage of a person's vulnerable state of mind, needlessness, pain, or agony. Undue influence. And we have defined in this piece of legislation what undue influence is.
Okay.
Undue influence in reality comes under the section known as fraud and coercion.
All right. And it's unlawful in violation of this section for any person receiving or in the possession of funds of Medicaid, eligible elderly or disabled person residing. This is what it's about. It's about Medicare money.
And Social Security services.
Right. So, once again, follow the money trail. It's all about the money. So,
it does allow people to actually go back in their district and say, you know, this is something that I worked hard on. It was something that needed to be done, when in reality, and this was actually introduced by Senators Engler and Senator Schmidt.
Really now? Okay, and where does it stand? What kind of track did it gain this year?
This one is also sitting on the governor's desk.
Okay. So, the governor signs it. What can we expect? We can expect special class legislation, elderly. It's redundant because we've already got laws on the books to cover it, and it's going to tap into the Medicare money and Social Security money as well, which is something I'm not sure that we need to be messing with.
It's already, coercion of fraud is already defined in law. And if you can't make the case in the court system that it wasn't fraud and it wasn't coercion, let's not create a subclassification to make it even easier to make people criminals.
Yeah, and this would only apply to the elderly.
Correct.
anyone else receiving Medicaid or Social Security, this would not apply to.
Correct. Anyone who perhaps like the autism spectrum thing, the people who are any sort of government assistance who are not elderly would not fall under this chapter of this piece of legislation.
Okay. Another action item for Missouri Grassroots Radio folks or Missouri Grassroots Coalition listeners. Bill 39. Okay, we've got another bill here. Just so that we're not only looking for the negative, but looking for the positive, what do we got here?
This one is Senate Bill 600. Sadly, this one didn't go anywhere. This one was actually introduced by our 2011 Lock and Smith Constitutional Voting Award member, Jim Lemke. And what this would do, Senate Bill 600, it would require that a warrant that is issued by a court of the United States that is to be served within the boundaries of the state of Missouri, that the federal agent responsible for serving the warrant must do so in person at the sheriff's office of the county where the person that is being served upon resides.
So that local law enforcement would have information about the long arm of the federal government reaching into the state.
Absolutely, because your sheriff is the most powerful elected position within any county.
So this is a state's rights issue, it's a local control issue, and it died on the 26th of January and never made it out of committee.
Yeah, it first read, second read, and then that was it. It just basically disappeared off the map, and it's quite possible that, you know, I don't want to read more into this than what it is, but based on who the sponsor of it is, it's very possible that the committee that was hearing it just said, no, we're not going to do this. And there's a lot of pettiness that goes on up in both chambers of Jeff City.
And that's
if
a shame.
Don't toe the party line.
Senator Lemke is a strong advocate for states' rights, and he's often gone against the party on several issues. And this may have been one of the casualties for that. We don't know for sure, but one can only speculate. So,
but this is a piece of legislation that should be reintroduced next session. It should have a House version, and it should have a Senate version.
Absolutely.
And
all right.
If elected, I will be the one introducing it into the House.
Very good. Okay, so Tom, tell me, where can folks find out about you and your election? What's your website?
Website is votetom4mo.com.
And tell me about Lock and Smith. How can we find out about Lock and Smith?
LockandSmith.com. Lock is spelled with an E, and today we just got a confirmation from former Chief Justice John Holstein here in the state of Missouri that he will be our speaker for the third annual Lock and Smith Awards, which are being held September the 15th,
okay.
Constitution Day, 2 days before Constitution Day, and down here in Springfield at University Plaza, and you can... All the links and everything that you need to sign up for that will be available at lockandsmith.com, lock spelled with an E.
And we'll put that information on the MGC website as well. Thank you for being with us, Tom. We have to wrap up. We're just about out of time. Join us here next week on Wednesday here for your Culture Vigilante Hour, Missouri Grassroots Radio. Don't forget to go back to the website and take a look at the events calendar and see all of the wonderful things going on there. Well, thank you very much for being with us. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.